Good morning, honorable members. The meeting is officially open. You are all welcome. The ministry, you are welcome. DG and the team from South African Weather Services and the chairperson of the board. I'm making assumptions. I've not gone through that. Guests that you might have here, you are all welcome. The meeting is officially open. This must be our second last meeting for the quarter. I hope we are beginning to find the rhythm. I don't want to say after COVID because we're still getting threats about a third wave. We're looking forward to the vaccine. When I said I'm going for vaccination, somebody asked, are you getting the jab? I don't know when are we likely to get the jab. We're looking forward to that, hoping that once we get that, life might move closer to normality. You are all welcome. The meeting is officially open. Any apologies?
Chair Honorable Mbatha.
Yeah.
She had the procedure done, so I'm not sure if she'll be joining.
Okay.
But she did let me know yesterday that, yeah, she was in hospital, but I'm not sure whether she'll join the meeting or not today. Not sure how she feels.
Okay.
But again, no, it is an apology.
Okay. Honorable members, can we get a proposal? Yes.
Sorry, good morning. Good morning to you and to colleagues and everybody. I had my hand up, perhaps you didn't notice it. Chairperson, I've got a Rules Committee meeting chaired by the Speaker at 11. So I'll have to leave just before that to log on to the Rules Committee. So my apologies if I don't stay the whole meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Can we get a proposal for the adoption of the agenda? Now that Honorable Singh, your face is before me, can you propose?
I move, Jefferson. Sorry, I move.
Any second for the adoption?
I second, Chair.
Honorable Mkhono, welcome. Thank you. Then we follow the agenda as adopted. Let's start with the minutes. Can they be flighted? I saw them before. But we'll start by allowing members, if there are any corrections you want to do. And I think after that, if there are any matters arising that are not captured in the program. Can I start with the first page of the minutes? If there's any spelling mistake of your name or whatever. Page 2.
Jefferson, could it be flighted, please? For some reason, I didn't print them.
You didn't print it. Somebody did flight it. I don't know why it disappeared. Can we quickly get it back? Okay, is it back now? It was not like this when, okay, yes, this is how it was looking like. First page. Second page.
Sorry, Che, can we just go up a bit on the...
Go up?
Yeah.
Yes.
I know I attended the meeting, but I see I'm under apologies and... I did attend, I was present.
Oh, shucks. Shucks.
I wasn't listed under apologies. That's something I noticed.
Yes.
That is the thing.
You're correcting that one. Okay. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9. Page 10. Page 11. Page 12. Yes, that's the last page. Yes, I can see. With that, can we get a proposal for the adoption of the minutes with the amendments?
Chairperson, sorry, yes. May I come in and apologize profusely? It seems to be a blue Tuesday. I had apologized for that meeting, so I was not there. So I must be marked under apologies and not present. So I can't move for the adoption of the minutes. So somebody okay. else will have to. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Honorable Mkhono, any seconder?
I second, Chair Kanjo.
Honorable Kanjo, seconded. Minutes adopted. Any matters arising?
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable.
Minutes that I think there was a request that we get Cecil and Eskom to come and present to the committee and tell us about their, you know, activities or activities that we don't agree with regard to pollution. Has there been any progress in regard to that? Can we put it into our program for the next term somehow or the other?
Mm-hmm. Including the oversight visit to Kruger. I think we can we get progress, if there's any progress. There was indication that it can only come in the second quarter when we have seen the draft program. Any developments?
That is correct, Chair. It will be in the second term program.
Okay. Then can we move to the next?
Sorry, I've got my hand up. I understand sometimes that the hand icon doesn't work. Can I just raise a couple of other points on matters arising? I can beg your indulgence there. Just firstly, there's still an extensive list of outstanding questions from Sandparks with regards questions that were raised around the issues relating to poaching and conservation. And I was just wondering if we are able to get feedback as to when those questions will be answered. It's now two meetings have passed since then. And then the other point is just in terms of the question from Honorable Singh, just to reiterate that that was a resolution of our committee. If we can just get a report from the Secretariat as to how far we are in getting a presentation out, that would be fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Sandparks will not be here today. I think the Secretariat must follow up. I think the commitment is to say those responses will be asked. If there's any progress in relation to that, Secretariat, we have already responded to this one of the program for the next quarter, because we are winding up this quarter now. Our last meeting would be somewhere on the 16th. Any progress in relation to responses from Sandparks Secretariat?
Chairperson, there were responses that I sent out last week. So I'll check with WISWA whether we have not responded to all of them.
Okay, so there will be a follow-up.
And then the state members, yes.
Okay.
Can I just ask through you whether those responses were sent out to all members? Because I don't recall having received the answers to those questions from Sandparks, unless I perhaps missed it.
Yes, Secretariat.
Mr. Brent, I will check my emails and then confirm with you later.
So maybe there must be a process that is known to all of us, how we get responses that might have been promised. Thank you very much. Let's move to our next item. Invite the ministry to introduce the presenters, the people who are going to lead us. I'm using the term ministry because I've spoken to the deputy minister. I can't see the minister in here. Maybe she is here. Over to you, Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to honorable members. Firstly, Chair, let me also then indicate that the minister is not with us today, as she had to attend to another meeting. in preparations for the questions of this afternoon at the NCOP. On the issue that was raised by Honorable Briand with regard to the outstanding questions, I did receive a file from the department last week, which is a copy of all the responses that were sent to yourselves through Kilega for the questions that were asked by members of parliament. I'm sure Kilega will just have to double sure whether all the questions has been responded to, but according to the file that I have in front of me, all the questions has been responded to. Chairperson, thank you very much. I'm joined by our DG, Ms. Nomfundo Tshabalala, and her team of senior managers in the form of DDGs and the CFO with regard to today's agenda, which is the briefing on the second and third quarterly reports for 2021 and also the financial year report. We also have amongst ourselves source management, which is then the CEO, who is accompanied by his team. Chairperson, without any waste of time through you, may I then hand over to our DG, Ms. Tshabalala. Are you here, DG? I can see DG is in here. Or am I talking alone? Are there some other people in this platform?
No, we can't hear me.
DG? I saw her name.
We can DG.
DG?
Can you check DG?
Chairperson, if the DG has got problems, because all the
DM, the DG is speaking, but it looks like she's got technicalities on her side. She's working on that. Sorry, DM.
Chairperson, through yourself, if whilst the DG is struggling, because each and every DDG responsible for different programs are here, through you, Chair, can I then ask the DDGs responsible for different areas then to take us through? And Dr. Ranoi, can you just advise which DG can assist us, because DDG can assist us, because we don't know what's going to happen if the DG takes longer to get into the platform.
Yes,
no,
that's,
so DM, is it acceptable, Chair?
Yes, please.
CFO, can you assist us then?
Okay, I will do that. GM, thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members, and good morning to yourselves, and thank you, DM, and the colleagues. Chairperson, I will go through the report, and with your permission, Chair, we normally, and you'd give maybe a guide, explain the areas that are yellow and red and speak to those, so that we don't speak to the green ones in the interest of time. If that is the allowed, Chair, that is the...
That's the understanding.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, great. Thank you, Chair. Can we get the... All right. Chairperson, here we're getting the summary of the second quarter performance, and would see that in terms of the achievements, the department was sitting at 62% at the end of the second quarter, with 76 of the 122 targets being met. And in terms of the areas which were work in progress, Chair, we were 22%, which represents 27 targets out of the 122. And painfully so, we had 16%, which are red, which are off target, and that represents 19 targets out of 122. And we also had, in this case, Chairperson, areas which had no milestone for the second quarter, and that represents 11 targets on the last column. Can we go to the next slide? The next slide, Chairperson, is a representation of the second quarter, 62% achieved, 22% in progress, and off target is 16%. Can we, next page? And here, Chairperson, then it's an update to the third quarter. Third quarter, we had achievement at 61, which is 74 of the 100. We had 10 targets being off target. 10% being off target. I would start, Chair, with your permission.
Yes, please.
On the third quarter, we had 61% achievement, which is 74 targets out of 121. And then in terms of work in progress, 29% was in work in progress, which is 35 targets. And then off target, we had 10%, which represented 12 targets of the 121. And then we had no milestones under those. We've got 8 targets which had no milestones under the third quarter. Next slide. And this is a representation then of the details that we've just spoken in the last slide, 61. Next slide. Okay. All right. Thank you. Chair, here we're giving the details of the various programs, starting with program one. In program one, Chairperson, the under administration, we had a target which is a work in progress. This target relates to the external audit opinion. We needed the target was that the external audit opinion report received from the AG, and this qualified, we received a qualified external audit opinion on the department's financial statements with material findings on annual performance information for 2019 financial year. So this issue that happened is that the opinion was still qualified, and therefore that's what makes it to be a work in progress. In terms of the challenges, we're reporting here, Chairperson, that we had less resources available for a detailed review in terms of the expenditure on irregular expenditure contracts, lack of internal control unit to review procurement transactions for non-compliance and reporting throughout the year, hence additional irregular expenditure was discovered by the AGSA. The transactions of the implementing entities still remained a challenge for the department's preventative control measures. And then in terms of corrective measures, Chairperson, we saying in the new financial year as we finalize, actually in the fourth quarter, we have planned and we've got an action plan looking at putting additional capacity to review the internal controls, and in particular on irregular expenditure. And then we're also looking at strengthening the preventative measures through staff training and awareness campaigns. And then, and these are continuing as we speak on a weekly basis. On Mondays, we have meetings where we meet with various branches, and in particular, in the areas where we had a lot of issues being findings from the AG. And then we're looking at also training implementing entities to ensure compliance. And then the last part being also implementing consequence management on all areas that have been identified. And that is a continuation of the consequence management that are already put in place. Next slide. And next slide. In terms of the percentage expenditure, Chairperson, our target for the third quarter, it's 65%, and we unfortunately did not meet the 65%. We're sitting at 60% in terms of expenditure. And the challenges that we experience here is the slow expenditure due to the additional allocation on the presidential stimulus program, which as we finished the third quarter, it was in the planning phase and currently going through the procurement process. We're looking at that execution in terms of this report when we're reporting that it would start in February. And in February, we were still busy evaluating the tenders that came in under this program. In terms of the corrective measures, in March. And yes, of course, we're still in the... Okay, I'm not so sure if I'm still audible, Chair.
You usually break, but you are audible.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So our plan and execution, we were pushing and we're still working very hard on those tenders in terms of evaluation, and they are going through our PACs as they get finished. And then coming to the percentage of the department's budget expenditure on triple BEE and Black-owned enterprises, our achievement for the quarter, we reported 64%. We had challenges in this area, and the branch has been working very hard in terms of the finance branch in verifying the information to ensure that the points allocated are correct, and then we have not missed anything. Our processes are still pretty much manual. In this case, Chairperson, we're looking at improving that process as we go into the future, but we have to make do with what we have currently. In terms of the corrective measures on this in this area, the branch is in consultation with DTIC to confirm the status of the original and copies of certificates as printed to ensure that the department allocates the points accordingly. We have had a favorable response in writing from DTIC that the triple B certificates that are printed from their website, we need to consider them as original, and therefore we must really relieve us going forward. We should be able to meet our target in this area, because we do business with a lot of triple BEE compliant companies as a standard in the department. Thank you. And then in terms of the target of 65% of triple B, we did not in this quarter report a Chairperson because of the problems with the data that we have in terms of getting the supporting documentation, and the team has been working very hard to extract this information so that it can be corrected throughout the whole year and be reported. The manual process is still quite tedious for us in terms of the resources that are required, but we're doing our best to ensure that in the fourth quarter, we can be able to report in terms of the accumulated target that would have achieved in this area, which is critical for us, Chair. Then we had also a target for 5% of procurement on rural and township. We started very bad on this target. We are now at 4%, which is 1% less than the 5% that we have targeted. In this area also, we still, it's part of that process where we're working to clean the data that we have using the CSD, which is the National Treasury database. And we doing our best, Chairperson, we'll be having in the period of March now workshops with the service providers that we deal with, and in particular, even the ones that are potential, to explain to them why it is important for them to update their status and their information on the central database of National Treasury so that we are able to report accurately on the business that we do with rural and township enterprises. We believe it's a critical indicator that we need to make sure that we are reporting accurately on it. Next slide. On this target, Chairperson, we had a target of 2 workshops to do in the third quarter, which there was no milestone in under that quarter, actually. Or what we're saying here, we had our, just to be correct, I'm just looking at that. We had our workshops done in the first quarter, which there was no milestone in the third quarter. And what we have done, Chairperson, now in March, all of these workshops are planned, and the team is very much advanced in having them. We'll be able then to achieve in the fourth quarter of the year. But currently, we did not do well so far on these workshops. Next slide. Here, Chairperson, we're just giving the over-target in work in progress, 33% of target, and no target was achieved, which was not a good show in the third quarter. Next slide. In terms of the dispatch, Chairperson, maybe as the DM had said, I would want to check through your permission, Chair, hand over to the DDG Corporate Services, Medimbo, if Chairperson, with your permission.
Yes, no. Great.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Chairperson, honourable members, Deputy Minister and colleagues. I will take you through the performance of corporate management services, with the first area there that was not met being around a percentage vacancy rate. You would note that we have indicated that there were 76 terminations in the year, which then led to us then getting more vacancies. Just to explain the terminations, Chair, 47 retirements, and this we saw as an opportunity to realign the structure, also taking into account the budget constraints that you have. So going forward, you would see that we have a realigned structure with fewer posts, because we then had to indicate which posts we would no longer need going forward. We unfortunately lost 10 employees in the resignation, 18 resignations that we have in the period. We have looked at the process of fast-tracking, shortlisting, and interviews for positions that were already advertised in this quarter, and we have made progress in terms of filling of the posts. The second area, which is not fully met, is around the target with people with disabilities, where you would see that we are at 1.7% instead of 2%. think 80% of people with disabilities, but we've noted that with the integration specifically in, within forestry, we've picked up a challenge in where people had not declared their disabilities. So in terms of the strategy or what we've done to look at that, we continue sharing our adverts with the Disability People's Organizations of South Africa, DPOSA, to ensure that they then can share this with their different affiliates. This approach in most cases helps us in getting a pool of persons with disabilities to apply for our vacant posts. We're also sharing our employment equity profile with all different branches in the department when we're doing the recruitment processes to ensure that we then have a focused and dedicated program to look at people with disabilities and other vulnerable groups. We have held disability awareness sessions earlier this year, going through the regions, particularly the forestry regions, just to ensure that people are aware of their disability status and what support the department can offer them in terms of offering reasonable accommodation for their disabilities. We also had an employee declaration and disability disclosure campaign on the 10th of February this year. And as a result of that, we've had a total of about 702 declaration forms that have been submitted by employees who were not aware that they could. But we just don't accept those forms. We then do the analysis to ensure that these are people that then would meet the requirements of being declared, having their disabilities declared. So we are hopeful that this drive will enable us to then achieve the target that we have in this regard going forward. The other area was an area I think which I skipped on women in SMS. You would note that the target there was 45% and we were at 44%. We have continued, I think, in the department to try and ensure that the vacancies at senior management that are being filled, we are prioritizing and ensuring that we're filling them with competent female candidates. The other area which we had not met the target on was on our integrated permitting system, which we are developing in collaboration with CETA. At the end of the quarter three, we wanted them to present to us what they had developed in terms of one module and ensure that we have an user acceptance for that. The engagement happened, but we had not given up at the end of the quarter for what was then submitted, the way we clarified these issues with CETA, and we are hoping we should be able to catch up in that area of work. Next slide, please. In this slide, Chair, all the targets were met, so I will not talk to that. I will only talk to the last target, which was around awarding of full-time bursaries. So in terms of this, we are at the quarter, so we missed the target. I think of corporate management services. So 44 or 4 of the 9 targets are on target, and 5 of those are workers in progress. Thank you.
Thank you. Does that mean that's all?
No, Chairperson. With your permission, we'll ask EDG Isham, I hope, I think he is in the meeting, to take us through regulatory compliance and sector monitoring.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister and colleagues. thank you. Chair, in terms of the first area where we still have a work in progress, it relates to the number of criminal cases that were finalized and dockets that were handed over to the National Prosecuting Authority for prosecution. Chair, 5 the dockets were handed over to the NPA for prosecution in the third quarter. Currently, in total, we have 17 cases, which leaves us with a balance of 14 cases to reach our annual target, which we definitely sure we will meet. Next slide, please. Chair, on that side, there was nothing. I'll move on to the number of interventions for streamlining environmental authorizations that had to be developed. Our annual target was the financial provisioning regulations for the mining sector. They needed to be gazetted. Legal specialists contracted COVID. As a result, the legal opinion that was supposed to be provided was delayed, and we could not do the workshop that would have had to follow that legal opinion. We, however, have submitted the draft regulations for vetting to the internal experts, and we will proceed to finalize that before the year, before year end. Next slide. In terms of also the number of interventions for streamlining environmental authorizations, we had the minimum requirements for the submission of EIAs for shale gas installations needed to be prepared. The second draft was prepared and was supposed to be sent to the legal section in January for vetting. We were waiting input, and sorry, Chair, for the error there. It's supposed to be the Petroleum Agency of South Africa, not Payment Association. So the comments that we've received will be incorporated, and we will see the number of strategic environmental assessments that were developed. Our target for the year were two. We had to do the gas and electricity corridors and gazette those for public comment. We still have to consult those through Working Group 5, or rather it has been done in January. There were, however, delays in finalizing the final draft, and we couldn't consult the draft in the third quarter. However, we will be doing that in the fourth quarter, during the working group meetings, Working Group 5 and Working Group 11. Next slide. I think that's it, Chair. So essentially for the branch, there were 12 targets, of which we've met 8. And then 4 of them are still a work in progress, so it should be 67% and 33%, not 25%, as indicated, Chair. I think that's it for this branch, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We will move to Oceans and Coasts with your permission, Judy.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, Deputy Minister, DG. So for the branch Oceans and Coasts, the first slide was green, so we've moved on. The second slide deals with the annual target of 2 million, and the quarter three target was stakeholder engagement for the development of those two management plans, and we're talking about Aliwal Shoal and Amatola Offshore Marine Protected Area. Here we were unable to do the stakeholder engagement process. It includes communities, and it was right at the time in Q2 of the very into the stakeholder engagement session for later this month. In terms of estuary management, the next target there that is yellow. So here the target was an annual project plan to be drafted for the Richards Bay estuary. And then the management activities implemented for the Orange River mouth, Buffalo and Durban Bay. So in terms of progress, we managed to do the annual project plan for Richards Bay, but we only got halfway through the activities that are set out in the management plan for Orange River Mouth, Buffalo and Durban Bay. We do have a corrective plan, and we are confident that we'll achieve those by quarter four. I think the next slide should be all green. Yes, that's all green. So for us, we had 80% achieved. 1 out of 10 targets was a work in progress, and 1 out of 10 was off target. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. We will move to Programme 4, and Dr. Tuli, the DDG, will take us through.
Um,
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, Honourable Deputy Minister and colleagues. Maybe we should move to the slides with the yellow. Thank you. On this slide, it talks to the update of the National Determined Contribution, the NDC. We have a work in progress. The document has been completed, but we have not yet initiated the stakeholder consultation. We believe that it will be approved by Cabinet for consultation this quarter, and already we can have one or two meetings. The next item is the climate change bill submitted to Cabinet. We have completed the next lab process. We are waiting for sign-off, and then we will take the document to the state, to state law advisor, and conclude and submit it to the Cabinet process. So it is work in progress. Thank you. Next slide. On this one, our agriculture assessment report for the implementation of the adaptation strategy. In the second quarter, we had a red, a yellow now, because we've had the inception meeting in December, but the challenge is that we could not consult during the lockdown. The same for the health sector and the coastal sector. We could not have the consultations that we needed to have and the project inception meetings that we needed to have during the hard lockdown. However, we have had a comeback and we are now on target. Next slide. Next slide, please. We have a few challenges in this area of equality. The first one is the National Equality Indicator, which when it is one or below, it indicates the compliance with the ambient equality standards in the country. However, this time it is not green, and we believe that this is because the monitoring program has been improved, that we are actually reporting the correct state of air, because we do have areas in the country that where there are non-compliances. The next item was the establishment of the working group to ensure that members of the government that contribute to air pollution can meet and have an agreed work plan and have policy alignment. We didn't meet the targets for quarter one and quarter two. However, we now have a yellow. Some of the departments, especially public enterprises, have selected representatives to this committee. The next item is the Equality Management Plan for the Vile Triangle Pirate Area, which is in progress. It has been submitted for approval, and but is not yet published. We believe that we will publish this in this AQMP in this quarter. Next slide. This is for the Equality Management Plan for the High Veld Pirate Area, Emalahleni and Secunda area, and the city of Ebunleni. This one, Chair, is red. We could not do the work that we were supposed to do. The lockdown started just as we were going out on tender for this project. However, where we are now, we have appointed a service provider, and we believe that we can start the work in this quarter and at least get this target to yellow. But we were immensely delayed, and the COVID hit has had on this one. The next one, Chair, we were also affected because we have 25 stations that are supposed to report to the National Equality Indicator. And so because we could not, officials could not visit the stations to do the necessary calibration that is required to keep the stations running. Instead of the 25, Chair, we have only 16 stations that have met the data recovery of 75%. This is not to say the others are not working, Chair. It's just that we want to report in the state of air. We want to ensure that we are comparing apples with apples. At least the data recovery of 25%, we have the confidence that we are comparing well if they're all at least at that level. Next slide. This is the summary, Chair, and honorable members. We have only 59% achievement in this quarter, and we hope to improve in the last quarter, and 6% off target and 35% work in progress. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The next program will be led by DDG Shoni Sani.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members. the area in Amber relates to management effectiveness tracking tool. This is a tool that we use to measure management effectiveness of the protected areas, state-owned protected areas. This reporting year is for the first time that we are using an online system in the history of this program, spanning a lot, many years. So at the time in quarter three, the report could be drawn as per the system analysis after the input as received from all the provinces. However, there were some few glitches related to the system that were discovered and to be dealt with for us to then sign off on the final report, hence the state of affairs as reflected here. That has since been resolved, and we are ready for the presentation of the full report in this regard. If we can go to the next one. The next one, yes. Here, the National Environment Management Biodiversity Act, the bill itself, was meant to be taken to cabinet for publishing for public participation. It, however, was subjected to the cabinet process and only went as far as being approved by the DG cluster en route to cabinet. How, at the time of reporting, due to the pending high-level panel recommendations and the report, we felt that there were issues that needed to be adjusted in the bill, taking into consideration the recommendations that were coming at the time. Of which that report of the HLP was presented or was provided to the minister in December. So we then took a decision to effect and analyze the implications of the HLP recommendations against the NEMBA bill, so that when it's processed to cabinet, it has taken into consideration whatever is adopted or decisions that minister would have taken or would take in relation to the HLP. Hence, the process was not taken further than what it could be at the time. So that was the situation that led to the amber that is reflected. Thank you very much. So the summary is as presented. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We will move to Program 6, which will be presented by GDG Nontlantla Mkhize.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, and Deputy Minister and colleagues. As I start this presentation, I would like to highlight that this is the branch of the department wherein we execute our projects through the Expanded Public Works program approach. We are one of the programs that was most affected by the regulations in terms of the COVID-19 lockdown regulations. In terms of the number of full-time equivalents and the number of work opportunities that we were able to create between the second and the third quarter, we did well. However, we acknowledge that we have challenges that we are currently addressing in terms of the number of women benefiting from environmental programs. Next slide, please. We did not meet the target for the second quarter in terms of the number of hectares cleared. This is partly due to the lockdown conditions. However, we expect that with the relaxation of the lockdown regulations from December, we were able to get more people in field to move towards meeting this target. Next slide, please. It's the same reason, Chair and Honourable Members and Deputy Minister, that applies in terms of the number of hectares for follow-up. wherein we've met the condition in the performance target in terms of the number of discrete biocontrol sites. This is releasing biological control agents at identified sites. So it's not mass employment per se, but it's just the release or the control of invasive alien plants through the release of biological control agents. We've improved from quarter two to quarter three in terms of the number of wetlands under rehabilitation, as well as the estuaries under repair. When it comes to the number of hectares, the land under rehabilitation, it's also the same reasoning applies that, I mean, we've had to, in compliance with the regulations, we had to slow down. However, from December, with the relaxation of the regulations, we were getting more people in field. Next slide, please. In terms of the number of emerging species targeted for early detection or rapid response, we did not have a milestone. However, there was performance in terms of us being able to cumulatively achieve or target 83 species for early detection and rapid response. Next slide, please. This area, we did not meet the target by the third quarter, mainly because there were certain aspects that we needed to perform. For example, the handover certificates for completed sites were not finalized. So we are in the process of finalizing that. And also with the delays that we encountered in the implementation of the accommodation units, we are confident that of the 12, we will be able to achieve, I think it's five, seven, and then leave five not achieved due to delays associated with procurement. But we are implementing corrective actions in this regard. Next slide, please. On the outcome that relates to evaluating activities, we had invested in and entered into a partnership with the Department of Basic Education to build a number of structures with an innovative invasive biomass concrete, biomass infused concrete. However, due to challenges beyond our control in terms of the withdrawal of the number of schools that were allocated to us at that point, we did not meet this target. So we entered into negotiations with the DPE to find ways and means to complete the deployment of the biomass infused concrete. Next slide, please. So in terms of the work that we do in support of local government and environment as a sector, second and third quarter, we are in yellow or amber because we were not able to meet the target on placing the number of students on an integrated learning program. Here, it's related, or the challenge is related to COVID-19, but we are expediting the placement of these students. Next slide, please. With our support, or in terms of our support to local government in line with the district development model, we did not meet the number of the target in terms of the number of IDPs analyzed and recommendations provided. However, the report itself, there's work in progress that is seeking to finalize the report and also present the recommendations to municipalities before the end of the current quarter, the fourth quarter. Next slide, please. So overall, the branch has met 53% of its targets, and 32% is still work in progress, and we are off target by 15%. That's the end. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. We will move to Program 7, and Acting DDG Mamukgala Moseneke will take us through.
Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister and colleagues. Just on slide 53, an indication of one of our indicators that we were not able to fully achieve on, focusing on environmental performance assessments targeting our hazardous waste management facilities. We had cases of COVID internally affecting the team, so the team had to isolate. That was in second quarter. However, in third quarter, we were able to catch up and be able to meet the target and cumulatively address those ones that we couldn't attend to in Q2. Maybe just to go to the last one, page, the overall for Q2, that was the one target that we could not achieve on 86%, and in Q3 we were able to achieve the targets. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We will now move to Program 8, and Muruma will take us through this program. Sorry, Chair. It looks like Muruma has a problem of connectivity. If you allow, Chair, maybe we can move to Program 9 whilst we sort out the connectivity issue on this program.
We can move to 9.
Sue, can you please take us through?
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, and colleagues. Just before I start on the first slide, to explain that the Fisheries Branch reports as Programme 9 on the in terms of the national report. We will also be presenting the same report next week as the Marine Living Resources Fund, where we will be presenting the financial quarter three financials as well. So in terms of progress for quarter three, the first one on submitting the aquaculture bill to Parliament was not achieved. We have reported previously that the sixth administration decided not to submit the bill to Parliament until further consultations had taken place. The consultations did take place during quarter three, and the this target has now been moved into the new APP for the 2021 financial year. So by quarter four and the annual report, we will not achieve on this one. It is a target that has been shifted to the next financial year. And then in terms of the second target for quarter three, we did manage to conduct internally phase two of the socioeconomic impact assessments. We've commenced with that, but we did not succeed in appointing all the service providers that had been advertised for the FRAP process as a result in delays in supply chain. A number of colleagues in supply chain had COVID during this period. Can report that the bid adjudication committee did meet early in January and February, and there has been some progress there, where two bids have been awarded and one bid was cancelled and has subsequently been re-advertised. Next slide. The next one is green, so I won't talk to that. We didn't achieve in quarter one and quarter two, but we have caught up in quarter three in terms of progress on the inland wild capture freshwater policy. The next one on revenue streams for the MLRF is a work in progress. We were meant to have finalized the terms of reference for the revenue governance structure. A draft terms of reference has been formulated and has been submitted to legal services
for gazetting. So that is in progress. And we have gazetted a revised fee structure in consultation with the Minister of Finance, because this is a concurrent requirement, and we are awaiting for comments on the proposed fee structure. Next slide. That's green. Next one. So I'll move to the, let me just talk on the harbors. In terms of quarter two, we were in yellow. It was a work in progress. We have subsequently in quarter three sorted out all the reporting requirements, and it is now green. The next red one is the number of verifications of right holders. We did not meet that target of 70, but we are confident that we will meet this annual target, and it's more an issue of the portfolio of evidence than not achieving the work. Next target. Next slide, sorry. Right. In terms of the small-scale aquaculture support program being implemented, we were meant to have developed a resource mobilization plan for the small-scale aquaculture project. And although two meetings were held in this quarter, we were unable to secure most of the funding required for implementing this target due to COVID challenges. But subsequently, we have a corrective plan where we have an MOU with the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development going forward. The next slide that is yellow is in terms of granting small-scale fishing rights in the Western Cape. We did make some progress in establishing 18 cooperatives. But we are not going to meet this target in quarter three or annually as a result of the decision to restart the small-scale application process in the Western Cape. Next slide. And I think that is the end. Everything else is green. If we can go to the pie chart slide. So in summary, we achieved 54% of our targets, 23 in progress, and 23 not achieved. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. We will complete Program 8, Chairperson, with your permission. I've got Mem Ronga. She experienced the problems. It doesn't look like she's coming up all right. Mem Ronga, can you take us through Program 8?
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Ministers and colleagues.
No, yeah, you are not audible. Can you speak louder?
Okay, I will try. Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members and Deputy Minister and colleagues.
Maybe the let me check with the Chairperson. Is it audible?
She is audible.
Oh, thank you, Chair. Sorry. Okay, continue, Memorum.
Thank you. So the first indicator relates to the number of hectares to be brought under silvicultural rights. In quarter three, the target was 700 hectares. We managed to get 624 hectares. The challenge that we experience relates to our colleagues who have underlying conditions. But our catch-up plan included us going on EPWP recruitment. We are intending to catch up on this target in quarter four. The next indicator relates to the number of nurseries to be refurbished. The target in quarter three was that we would implement the refurbishment plan. We experienced challenges in terms of the implementation due to employees who have comorbidities, but we'll start with the refurbishment plan in quarter four. Next slide. We had a target, an indicator that deals with the number of jobs to be created. In quarter three, the target was 500 jobs. We didn't do well in quarter one and two, but we managed to catch up in quarter three. And cumulatively, we achieved 1,434 jobs. The next indicator relates to the number of plantations to be handed over to communities, and this is in line with the master plan. The quarter three target was for us to appoint a transaction advisor. We couldn't do that. We had problems with committee members for specification and evaluation withdrawing, but we managed to resubmit, and we are hoping to catch up in quarter four. Next slide. The next indicator relates to the number of indigenous forests transferred. We didn't do well in quarter one, but we managed to catch up in quarter three. The other one relates to the National Field and Forest Fires Act legislation, which has to be tabled. Chairperson, we went through the whole process in the other department, but in the new department, we have to restart the process again. The next slide. We have the number of trees to be planted outside the forest footprints. I think we are doing good there. The next indicator relates to the state of forest report to be published. This is work in progress. The last one is the annual list of protected trees to be published. We are also on course with this one, Honorable Chair. The next slide. In summary, in quarter three, we were at 50% in terms of the targets that we have achieved, 33% on those targets which are on course, 17% on those that are off target. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Chair and Deputy Minister. I think, Chair, that is the end of the performance information, and I'll take Guy from Chair whether we should go into the finances, or we will then take the questions on this report. Back to you, Chair.
Let's go to the finances and take questions after that.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I will take you through the financial, the expenditure report for the third quarter. Next slide. And can we go to the next one? Next. Yes, thank you very much. Chairperson, at the end of the third quarter, which is normally what would refer in terms of the times lapse from the 1st of April to the end of December, that time is about 75% of the period in the financial year. Our expenditure at the end of December was sitting at 60%, and we had various programs which were programs of concern at that point in time. Program one was one of them. Program three, maybe not too bad. And then we had program six, environmental programs. This is the where the majority of the stimulus program funds sit, Chairperson, which we got just at the end of the quarter two. And we had challenges, and we're still having procurement processes running. The only spending that we're having at this time starting to pick up was with the contracts which are existing in the Natural Resource Management Division in EP. And then one of the programs that was a big concern was the chemicals and waste program. We had a delay in this case in terms of the waste pickers relief fund that we had to pay to them whilst the branch was busy developing a system, IT system, that would ensure that we pay the right people. The system has been developed, but there were issues at the end to be able then to finalize that process. The other big problem that we had in this program related to funds that we had to spend on the PPE for the waste pickers, about 15 million or so, which also we went through the transversal contracts of National Treasury, but we had problems with delivery from service providers, so that delayed this program in spending its funds. The other program that had a lot of concern was forestry, and we had in this case, Chairperson, about some projects which were cost drivers wherein paperwork in terms of approvals of the APOs or the annual performance plan were being sorted out, and that matter has been sorted in the third quarter. We have seen that the expenditure moving, but at the end of the third quarter we are still not at the right place with the forestry. Next slide, please. On this slide, Chairperson, what we have tried to do is just to compare the two periods of the year 2019-20 and 2020-21, just to see at the end of December of 2019-20, where were we sitting with expenditure. And the report comes out that we were sitting at 64%. And comparatively speaking, when we look at 2020-21, given that it was a year in which we also had COVID and the lockdowns, at 60%, it looks like we did not do that much better. But at the end of the day, our wish is that at the end of the quarter three, we should have been at least at 70% if things did not go well. So we're still not happy as a department with that 60%, despite that it was comparing a little bit better maybe with 2019-20. The next slide. Here, Chairperson, we providing expenditure per economic classification. The compensation of employees at 76% was okay. It was above the 75, but a bit of concern to say it could be overheating. And goods and services at 45%. This is where the majority of the stimulus package funds are sitting. I've explained the issues around the procurement processes we had to start in quarter three that we're finalizing now in quarter four. It is an area of concern in terms of whether all the funds will be spent. And we've started discussions with National Treasury just to look into the possibilities where funds are committed that they can be rolled over, given the importance in terms of job creation that is given to us by these funds that were provided. And then when we look at the transfers and subsidies at 76%, we're happy with the progress at that level. And then payments for capital assets at 43%, not a happy face at all in this area. One of the challenges in this area sits with the expenditure in our EP branch, where we are building fixed structures like the accommodation that the GG spoke to under the performance information. Next slide. This slide here, Chairperson, we're showing the transfers to the public entities, the public entity. I think Stanparks at 73% was not a concern at all. The big issue maybe for us that we've been tracking and resolving are the transfers under EPWP to Stanparks. NRM, we were still at 45%, and EPIP was sitting at 63%. I think the NRM has now been completed, and we're still left with EPIP to finalize in the third quarter. In terms of the SANBI at 87%, we were comfortable with that percentage. maybe a bit of concern that the EPWP NRM owned land project was sitting at 49%, but that is an issue that we are resolving also in quarter four. Isimangali saw it, 89% was looking good. The only concern here maybe would have been at EPWP transfer at 69%, but there has been good progress in this area also. Next slide. South African Weather Service at 73%, that it's okay. We didn't have concerns in this area. Marine Living Resources, which is where the operations for our fisheries department happen, at 80% it was fine, and we have finalized the transfer in the fourth quarter. Next slide. Thank you very much, Chair. That is the summary of the financial, the expenditure report as at the end of the third quarter. Over to you, DM.
DM.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, thank you very much. That's the report then from the department, and I don't know whether, Chair, you are going to then, we need you to guide us whether you're going to embark on the questions before we take source or we are moving over to source. I need your guidance in this regard.
Now let's take questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable members, I want to see your hands. I can see the first one. It's Honorable Phillips, number one, Honorable Bryant, number two, Honorable Singh, number three. Can I take you in that order, Honorable Phillips?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to thank you for the presentations. I do have a number of questions. If the answer is not immediately available, could you provide them to the committee and could they be provided back to us? But can we put a time frame on it, please? Because I've asked for this in the past and I still haven't received a number of the replies to the questions I've asked. So if we could maybe give you, say, 10 working days and then return, make sure that these answers do come back to the committee, please. Okay, slide two. This is just a comment. The 11 targets out of 133, that's actually dismal. It's embarrassing. And the fact that there are any green scores is actually unbelievable. On slide nine, there's a target of two workshops. What I'd like to know is how many staff are employed to hold two workshops a year? Then for slide number 11, please can you supply us with an organogram that speaks to this slide? Slide number 12, I see that you've held the required number of events. Please can we have a breakdown of what the events were and where they were held? Slide number 15, how many staff are employed to undertake rhino horn verifications? Slide number 17, and on slide number 15, please can we have more detail about the criminal cases? Then slide number 17, how long was the legal opinion delayed by? When was it expected and when was it received? Slide number 35, what national park was proclaimed? Slide number 45 and 46, I'd like to differ with the presenter there. She kept saying that they could not meet their targets because of the lockdown and things were going to get better from the end of the year. I'd like to point out that level 3 was introduced on the 1st of June 2019, level 2 on the 17th of August, 2020, and level 2 on the 17th of August, and level 1 on the 21st of September. So That indicates that that has just been used as an excuse, and I'd like them please to come back and make a proper presentation about why those targets were not met. We have a number of areas where there's no milestones for a specific quarter, and everything is green, and we are made to think that everybody is very, very efficient. That just indicates to me that too few milestones are actually set if they can be achieved in quarter one and two. And the departments actually should be setting more milestones for themselves so that they can serve our people better. Slide number 68. Again, here we have 8 out of 129. That's dismal. It's embarrassing. Slide number 56. One meeting was held, and then we get a big green block for that. Surely that should actually also be revised. We need to know how many meetings are actually needed, not just one planned and held. Then slide number 57, we have 1,434 jobs created. I'd like to know, are those permanent jobs or are they temporary jobs? And then slide number 59, there were 22,915 out of 40,000. We're actually three quarters of the way through, but only slightly more than half planted. Why is that a green block? Surely it should be yellow. Then for the finance, chemicals and waste, what were the issues? We told that there were issues. What were those issues? PPE, not supplied. Please can we have a list of suppliers that did not supply PPE on time? The environmental programs that were not, the spending wasn't done on, that's very worrying. The same for forest management. Slide 5, provinces and municipalities. That was on about 8% if I'm correct. Has that money been transferred and not spent, or has the money not been transferred? And then households, what is the transfer and subsidy for that goes to households? Thank you so much, Chair.
We now on Honourable. In fact, I just wanted to comment about the time that we take when we ask questions. I think we need to prioritize some of the questions. Honourable Bryant.
Thank you, Chairperson. On that point, I think it's only right that we conduct our oversight responsibilities with as much efficiency and efficacy as possible. And sometimes when the presentations are very long, we do end up with a scenario where we have a backlog of questions that we need to ask and to get answers to. So I think perhaps the best way for us to achieve that would perhaps be for us to...
On the questions, your questions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So, Chairperson, because I'm also unfortunately going to take a little bit more time with my colleague, Honourable Phillips did. Chairperson, in terms of the reports that we've received today, I know we've seen a lot of excuses related to COVID, and I understand some of those at the time there were challenges, but we need to face the fact that we're heading into a new normal now, that times have changed, and we can't be using COVID as an excuse going forward. We have to find ways to mitigate, to innovate and to change and adapt so that we can get our own system streamlined so that we can actually continue to deliver for the people of South Africa. Unfortunately, it looks like we will probably be heading for another qualified audit if we look at what has been presented today. There's a saying that sometimes if one under-promises and over-delivers, we'll achieve something. This is unfortunately a case of under-promising and under-delivering. So just firstly, in terms of the questions, the oceans and coasts, again, there's very little in terms of specific time frames and implementation plans. There's a lot of detail in terms of what the issues are and what's gone wrong, but what we need to find out is what the plans are going forward. How is the department going to adapt and remedy those situations? In terms of estuarine management, on page 23, a specific question there, Why did they only manage to get halfway through that process? There wasn't very much detail given there. What was the reason for them only getting halfway? If we then move on to page 27, which is in terms of climate change, that climate change bill, again, how long have the signatures for that climate change bill been outstanding for? I know that that was one of the reasons given. In terms of air quality management, this was unfortunately another very disappointing set of results. On page 31, it's mentioned that the officials could not visit the different stations in question. Why is that? Why were the officials not able to visit those stations? Page 37, in terms of the high-level panel, can I please ask that the official just expand on the reasons why the high-level panel is holding back why that high-level panel report has been held back. He's mentioned that there are legal issues that are emanating from the report. What are the legal issues? What is the reason why that cannot be presented to us yet? And if they can't advise that, why can they not advise as to what those reasons are? And has the cabinet memo been updated in terms of the impact of this high-level panel? If we then look on fisheries, page 61, the fishing rights allocation process, I see one bid has been awarded. What was that bid for? And how many more bids are outstanding? I see that there were two originally awarded, one got cancelled. So how many more bids are outstanding? And what are the timeframes for FRAP? When are we looking at that process getting properly underway? Hopefully this year. And then on page 64, the inspections of the licenses for fishing. I see it's mentioned that attention was given to criminal investigations. Now, surely criminal investigations are carried out by the SAPS. So I just want to know what role the Fisheries Department is playing in terms of criminal investigations and why that delayed the process. Surely those would just be handed over to SAPS for investigation. And then lastly, Chairperson, you'll be happy, it's the last one. On page 65, what were the specific issues with the Western Cape fishing allocation process and the reason for that being cancelled? I know that it's we're all aware that there were issues in the process has needed to be redone. But what were the specific reasons as to why that process was thrown out? Thank you so much, Chairperson, for your indulgence.
Thank you, Honourable Singh.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning again to Deputy Minister, my colleagues, and the department staff. Let me also thank all the staff for the presentation. And state up front that COVID is a reality. COVID has certainly interrupted the workings of many departments, and therefore certain physical things could not be done on the ground as timely as they should have been done. But having said that, Honorable Chairperson, there are other matters that I believe that could have been addressed because they are office matters and matters that could have been addressed even if people were working from home. But I still want to say that we must not expect anything but a qualified audit report for the financial year that's going to end now, because this audit statement and the audit findings were only made in December and corrective steps are being taken. But like the other colleagues that have spoken before me, we would like to see an acceleration of remedial action in most of these. So the first one I'd like to ask Honorable Chairperson, and I won't be long, I can assure you that, is what is being done to beef up the finance department? Because I think all of us heard the minister use some very harsh words when the audit findings of unauthorized, fruitless and wasteful expenditure were made known to us. And although it came from a period before her term of office and probably before the term of office of a number of these officials that we are speaking to, I'd like to know in concrete terms, what is going to be done to beef up the capacity of the finance department so all these audit findings can be put to bed in due course? The secondly, the other question relates to legislation and targets. Now, Chairperson, I am owned by the coast, so fishing is very near and dear to me. I'd like to know, we have leave some reasons for the aquaculture bill. I'm not satisfied that we are doing enough. And I think now with level one, we can do more to ensure that this consultation, which cabinet required before the bill comes back to them, is concluded or is the process begins as quickly as possible. And talking about consultation, in one of the presentations, they spoke about the Aliwal Shoal engagement, which is going to be later this month. Now, I'd like to know, because I have an interest, I can see the Aliwal Shoal right from here as I'm speaking to you in my office. When is this going to take place? Where is it going to take place? With whom is it going to take place? I'd really like to have those details. Because we've had criticisms from the local people, the local organizations, that the methodology of consultation is not one that is satisfactory. It's very urban-centered. It's in town halls and things like that. And fishermen don't only reside along town halls. So I'd really like to have details at some stage, not now, of the Aliwal Shoal engagement. The last thing I want to raise is fisheries. Chairperson, you know we met interested in affected role players in the fishing industry. Honorable Brian did ask about FRAP. Now, FRAP is a big concern, that process. There has to be clear time frames, right? And we were also told in our last presentation, perhaps last year sometimes, about legislation that was going to be tabled, which would look at issues of, you know, the definition of small-scale fishermen, recreational fishermen, et cetera, et cetera. My question is, what has happened to that draft legislation? Where is it in the process? And if they can give us an answer, I'll be very satisfied if that answer can come by perhaps 5 minutes to 11. But if I do not have a chance for SOARS, I just want to congratulate Mr. Bader for his appointment as CEO of SOARS and wish him well. I think he's a very established and well-known environmentalist who will do great work in that regard. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Very last one is on the finances, expenditure. Chairperson, you know where the red flags are is where you get 85% spent already. And I see under fisheries management, 85% has been spent, right? When you look at chemicals and waste management, 41% is spent. So I think we got to identify those red flags of where there's been underspending, drastic underspending and overspending to the extent of fisheries management. And can we get some response to that? Thank you very much, Chairperson, for your indulgence.
Honorable Mkhulu.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The greetings to all the honorable members and the DM and the delegation from the department. We appreciate the presentation. And I would like to concur with Honorable Singh that in terms of the COVID-19 impact, we have been impacted also as all the departments. And we were given a report at some point, I can't remember the time, but that there are some challenges immediately after the lockdown last year, and we were given indications. But given that, Honorable Chair, on the presentations of the department, there is one that is a concern that I think it should be taken care of, and be prioritized. The one on the triple BEE. I think it's administration where they say the challenge in terms of extracting information which relates to that. That's the first one that I believe is critical and should be taken care of, and that if we can be assured that at least by end of the financial year, during the fourth quarter, we will get a positive report. And the second one, Honorable Chair, is on the finances. I would like to get from the CFO if, in terms of the expenditures, where we have 45% or 54%, can we be assured that maybe by the end of the financial year, we will be seeing progress on that one, that is going to at least get the expenditure to about 60 or at least about 50%. If you can get that assurance from the CFO, I'll appreciate. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. Maybe before I allow the department to respond, so that we have got one consistent message that is similar. Our wish is that we should move away from the qualified audit. It must be done to make sure that we move away from that. And two, the irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we want to see an effort that would minimize almost to completely cut off that. So in other words, in our vocabulary, we must not even think that we will tolerate that. So anything that we see from the report, if there's any intervention that must be done to make sure that the wishes of the ministry, as well as of the portfolio committee on irregular, fruitless, wasteful expenditure, people ignoring the laws and regulations that govern the spending of public finances, I think that one, it must be a consistent language. And we want to see effort from the administrators to make sure that that actually is realized. I just wanted to make that general comment so that we contradict this anticipation that we might still go back. We will not want to go there. I don't know, Honorable Phillips, I still see your hand. Does it mean you...
Sorry, Chair, I forgot to put it down.
Oh, okay. Can we allow the department to respond?
It's Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. And thanks to the members about those questions. Chair, I'm sure that the DDGs were able to note all the questions that were asked by members. And I therefore would like to ask each and every DDG to respond to his or her area of responsibility, so that if there are questions that they have not responded to, and then the members will just highlight those questions, and then we'll try our best to respond to all those questions. And just also to emphasize on what you said, Chairperson, with regard to the way the departments are doing their things when it comes to issues of finances and how we spend our funds. One of the areas that I think that we need to better on is the delays on certain functions that which are a must be done in the department. Because if you can see, most of the areas that are orange or amber, it is about work that has not been 100% done. Therefore, I think we need to do better there. And also with regard to the off-target, we need also to do better there in order for us to have a better outcome. But I don't want to comment on the issue of unqualified visas qualifiers. But let me then say, let me start with CFO. Can you then respond to your questions that were directed to your area of responsibility? And then other DDGs will also then respond to their areas of responsibility. Thank you very much. After CFO, I'll take Mam Khala to respond to her area of responsibility. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, GM and Chairperson. With your permission, I would start. The question raised by Honorable Phillips on the issue of two workshops per year. Chairperson, what had happened last year, we had several workshops held earlier in the year. That would have been maybe in the fourth quarter. And then these
two workshops that were set for later in the year or in the year, in the 2020-21, were more to finalize on the initial work that we had started. So, and we don't have specific staff that is employed for this, but we are using the current staff in the SCM area to do the workshop in the management in that area, the chief director and the director, and we're working with the communications unit to assist us with the workshop in terms of their organizing and so on. So that is the issue here, to say why did we have the two. Basically, my understanding is that it looks like it's little, but just to explain that we had other workshops held earlier in the year. And then when it comes to the issues around in Program 8, that talks to the transfers to municipalities where we performed at 8%, Chairperson, we have dealt with these issues. It's basically rentals that must be paid to municipalities. And in my engagement with the branch, we have identified that there were some contractual issues that needed to be finalized, and that the branch is finalizing so that we can make sure that the money is paid over to the concerned municipalities. I believe that in terms of the progress, we do track the expenditure now on a week-to-week basis, and therefore there is progress that we've made since the end of the first quarter. In Program 7, we will supply, Chair, the names of the companies which are in the transversal, on the transversal contract of National Treasury, where we procured the PPE and we struggled in getting the deliveries done. Somehow we had expected that there might be some blockage, given the fact that most of the departments that received the PPE, no, the stimulus program money, were going to be looking for PPE, Chairperson. Not that I'm justifying the companies not delivering. They've got an obligation to deliver. But we did expect some kind of a pressure on the market out there, the number of companies that are supplying these, that we might have some kind of a problem in getting our deliveries, as it happened with the PPE relating to COVID early in the year when we were going into lockdown number 5 at the time. We had problems with service providers supplying us with the necessary things we required at the time. And then when it comes to the issue, and I think Chairperson, one would want to agree with yourself and the members and the statement issued by the ministry around the issue of qualified audit reports. There is no toleration of that at all. And we're working very hard as the department, the whole team, finance, working with branch managers, because the issues that bring us qualifications are not necessarily sitting in finance. They are throughout the organization. So our strategy is to make sure that everyone else is involved so that we can deal with the root causes of the problems. In the last year, when we reported these results of the qualified audit that we got, we did report that Chairperson, from 2018-19, we had 11 qualification paragraphs. We reduced those to 3, 2 of them relating to irregular expenditure, which is an area that we do not want to be associated with. It's a disgrace for us. And we're doing our best, Chairperson, to exactly do what you had said as you were repeating the commitment from the ministry and the fact that this area, qualification and irregular expenditure in particular, cannot be tolerated. Administratively, we understand the charge that we are given, and we're doing everything in our power to turn around that situation. That has spoken to the issues raised also by, I might have just missed the surname of Honorable Dave, but an Honorable Sai also referred to the issue on the the audit outcome. The issues on the red flags on expenditure in terms of the areas where you'll find that there's performance, but the expenditure is low. We will provide the required information on that analysis of those issues so that we can compare the performance sites in terms of the target and the money. In cases where you might find the spending would not have necessarily been in the target, but it was part of the spending that would have happened. But we'll provide that analysis to the committee. In terms of the BBBE reporting, yes, Member Mkunu, we definitely will. We're doing everything in our power to make sure that that report goes out. The BBBE expenditure in the department is very critical, dealing with issues of transformation and inclusive economy. They are very critical to us, and we wouldn't want to fail in that area at all. In terms of the expenditure on the programs that we're doing well, Chairperson, I can report that Program 1 had moved from, by the 28th of February, from 59% to 75%. Program 6 had moved from 53% to 63%. And chemicals and waste, maybe not too much of a movement from 41% to 56%, and forestry had moved from 54 to 68. We monitor this expenditure now on a weekly basis. We had a meeting in February, in January, with with all the branches. We looked into all the cost drivers, projects that are still remaining, and the costing of those, and then we are tracking that expenditure on a weekly basis. Our projections in January told us that we're going to spend by year end 91.7%. And our drive is to take that to 95%. And this is this weekly monitoring. It's an attempt to try and move it from 91%, which was projected in January, to 95. Chairperson, I've spoken to the issues you raised, general comments on qualified audit and irregular expenditure. These are the issues that are not good for us at all, and we are determined to resolve them. Thank you very much, Chair and GM.
Honourable Chair and members, from Program 7, if I could just also explain the contribution to the underspending. One linked to the COVID-19 relief for waste pickers that we received, the one element of it was the payment that needed to be done, the 945 per waste picker. We needed to develop a system which has got internal controls, such that we also avoid adverse audit findings. So it took us a little bit of time because we needed to have interfaces with Home Affairs to ensure that we're not paying goals, National Treasury Safety Web to ensure that the bank accounts that we pay into are linked to the waste pickers' identities. So we are in the final stages. Already at the ground, applications have been captured. Around 3,700 have been captured to date. And then I should mention that our database has got 16,000 that we were able to confirm last year. The difference also comes wherein some of the waste pickers might not have the necessary requirement in terms of accessing the relief because they need to be certified either by their municipality or the buyback center that they work with. And some, if they are foreign nationals, they also need to have requisite documents from Home Affairs. So there are some that do not have, and hence we cannot proceed to process their applications. And the other element also, because in December we also were moving between service providers from our previous service provider, the post office, to a net bank. There were some issues in terms of that integration, especially affecting the payments linked to the Waste Management Bureau. But we have since picked up on that. And in terms of improving, we are working hard to ensure that we are able to disperse with the necessary controls that are in place. Thank you.
Through you, Chair, can I ask DDG Sue, who is responsible for fisheries, followed by DDG Nontlant, responsible for environmental programs. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DM and Chair. There were a couple of questions to fisheries, which I'll respond to now. But just noting that the question on from Honourable Singh on the Edible Shoal MPA would have to be answered by DDG Beaumont from Oceans and Coasts. So the first questions were from Honourable Bryant on what frack bids have been awarded thus far. There are two that have been awarded. That is the FRAP tip-off line and the auditor stroke process observer for the FRAP process. Then the bids that were cancelled and have been re-advertised were the FRAP implementer, which has now been split into two, namely the implementer and then an IT solution, and the panel of legal law firms has also been re-advertised. And one bid is outstanding, and that is the forensic auditors, but that is not for FRAP 20, that is for FRAP 15. So that one is less urgent. Then Honourable Bryant asked, what role does fisheries play in criminal investigations? The answer there is, we hand over evidence and information to the Hawks and to SATs for investigation. But where there are criminal investigations, there are still administrative processes that need to be followed through from fisheries. So if a rights holder is facing criminal charges, we then need to look at whether the right should be revoked or altered or cancelled in any way. Then there was a question on what were the specific problems with the small scale lists in the Western Cape. And the audit found a number of issues. And just to point out, there were different service providers appointed in the different problems in the different provinces, and we had a major issue with the service provider appointed in the Western Cape, which wasn't the case in the other provinces. So in the Western Cape, the audit identified that there were issues with the verification process, including inaccurate capturing of information. There were problems with the adjudication of applications by community panels. The audit found that there was biasness in certain communities by community panels who acted as gatekeepers. And there were inconsistent application of criteria between communities, as well as the incorrect and incoherent way in which appeals were dealt with between communities. So those were the main key findings of the audit process, hence the ministers being advised by the legal team that we need to restart. There were too many problems, and we need to restart the process in the Western Cape. Then Honourable Singh asked about the consultation process around the aquaculture bill. Just to say that the consultation process has been taking place since 2015, but specifically the consultation, there were virtual workshops on the 11th of November 2020 and the 10th of June 2021. The consultation process has now been completed and the revised bill will be submitted to Parliament or will be submitted for the parliamentary process. Then there was a question on both Honourable Singh and Honourable Bryant asked about the FRAP timelines. There are timelines. Where we are busy with at the moment is the internal process of reviewing this phase one of the socioeconomic assessments for all 12 sectors. We are concurrently internally reviewing the 12 sector policies as well as the general policy and the policy on fish processing establishments and the transfer policy. These will be ready for public consultation in later this month, with the aim of finalizing the policies and public consultation processes by the end of April and May. Thereafter, applications will open and the deadline of the 31st of December remains a hard deadline. Honourable Singh asked, where are we with the amendment of the MLRA? I think we've been very clear that the MLRA amendment will only begin in the 22-23 financial year because this year, 2021-22, priority is being given to FRAP and to concluding the small-scale process in the Western Cape. And we simply can't deal with the fundamental overhaul of the Marine Living Resources Act until we have completed these rights allocation processes. Then Honourable Singh also, and the CFO can correct me if I'm wrong here, asked about the over expenditure of the fisheries branch at 85%. Just to correct that in the sense that the expenditure as reflected in the CFO's report for fisheries is different to the other branches in that it only deals with the cost of employment as well as capital transfers. So 85% is for cost of employment. It does not reflect actual expenditure and that those financial statements will be tabled next week as part of the Marine Living Resources Fund, which will show that there has not been over expenditure. Thank you.
Thank you, DM. In response to the question raised by Honorable Phillips, I would like to highlight that with environmental programs, one of the commitments made was that at the start of lockdown, at the very start, the work in field was suspended and the work during the course of the year was then adjusted in line with the changes in terms of lockdown conditions. What that meant was that the program had to ease the reintroduction of teams in field in line with risks that are assessed. And in that regard, we continue to monitor the number of COVID-19 infections amongst the participants in our EPWP projects. What we've had to do as well in terms of, as part of us adjusting to the new normal, we've introduced training that deals with health and safety within the context of the conditions of the COVID-19 pandemic we find ourselves in. From my side, it's just to emphasize that the number of people that we're able to get in field it over and above just compliance to the lockdown conditions, it was also at the level of the individuals, the participants of the EPWP projects. It was assessing the risks at the level of the project and where the risks were found to be high, the projects were suspended. And with more training and also more awareness in terms of what is acceptable and not what is acceptable behaviors during this pandemic. We are then confident, and that's why we're getting more people back in field. Thank you, DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Can I then request Acting DDG Forestry, Meliseke, and followed by DDG CMS, Medimpo. Thank you, Chair. Morongwe, are you in? Can I then ask DDG Dimpo from CMS to respond to her questions?
Thank you. Thank you, GM. I will quickly respond. I think Honorable Phillips requested that we share the organogram of the department, and that would be done. The other question that she had was the details of the 11 events that we spoke to. I'll briefly talk to those. In quarter one, we had waste pickers engagements, which also included handover of food parcels on the 8th and the 9th of April in Sasolburg. We also then had a departmental and SPACS initiative in Kruger National Park on the 24th of April. We also had an event with the communities around Golden Gate, which also included food parcels on the 30th of April. And the next event was the one we held with the United Nations Environment Programme, UNEP, as well as Wildlife Environment Society of South Africa, WESA, which was a virtual engagement on World Environment Day, which was on the 5th of June. On the 16th of June, there was a youth dialogue on climate change that we had virtually. Then I'm moving to quarter two. There was a Mandela Day celebrations with youth and with the elderly in Lady Brand in Free State, with the Lady Brand Primary and the Manyazing Old Age Home. We also had an international coastal cleanup and launch of an Ikwazi project, which is in KZN. We also celebrated ABBA Month in the month of September, which events that took place in Free State, Northwest and Northern Cape and Gauteng. In quarter three, we had the unveiling of the Awelani Ecological Lodge on the 13th of November. We also then hosted the National Marine Week with schools at the Western Education Center in Durban on the 17th of October. So those are the details of the events that the 11 events that were held and where they were held. DM, I think those were the questions, as I've indicated, the organogram we will share. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DDG Limpo. Is Susan Liseke back? If not, can we take Judy Bowman, Ocean and Coast?
Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Minister and Honourable Members. There were two questions for us. The first related to the stakeholder engagement sessions for the Marine Protected Area Management Plans for Amatole and Aliwal Shoal Marine Protected Areas. In these stakeholder engagements, we work very closely with the provincial authorities and with the management authorities of the marine protected areas. So for Amatole, we are working with Eastern Cape Parks and Tourism. And for Aliwal Shoal, we are working with Ezimvelo KwaZulu-Natal. The workshop for the Amatole Marine Protected Area is scheduled for the 16th and 17th of this month, March. And the schedule for the workshop for the Aliwal Shoal will take place later. We haven't nailed down the date yet, but it will be later in the month. I think just to in respect of the question from Honourable Singh, Honourable Singh, we have indeed had concerns raised about the approach in the workshops. Yes, these are community workshops, and in view of the challenges and the need to ensure social distancing, we had created a situation, or we had facilitated a situation in which we had some people on virtual platform and some people in a physical meeting. It was not an easy workshop to manage, and we take very strongly the recommendations that that kind of multi-use of virtual platforms is not very effective in a rural setting and a community meeting. So we are doing things differently. In respect of the question on, there were questions around the estuary management plans and the targets for the work on estuaries. So we have detailed estuary management plans for each of the estuaries, the prioritized estuaries that we're working on, Durban Bay, Buffalo River, Orange River Mouth, and each of those management plans has a number of annual targets. We work closely with multiple stakeholders, so we always work with the provincial authority, the local authority, and any other stakeholders who are active in the area of that estuary or are using the estuary, so including fishing communities or, for example, in the case of Durban Bay, we are working with the Ports Authority in Durban, and similarly also in Buffalo River, working with the Ports Authority. In Orange River Mouth, we're working with the Alex Coal Mine. So the different targets, I can provide a detailed breakdown as to which targets were not achieved. The ones that we battled mostly with in the last quarter was the education and awareness sessions, which had to be postponed and will be rescheduled. So DM, I think that is as far as I'd like to go at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sue. I understand that Murungwe, we can get Murungwe through her cell phone. Are you there, Murungwe?
I'm getting her. She's here. DM Murungwe, can you speak?
Thank you very much, CFO and Deputy Minister. I'm responding to the question by Honorable Phillips on the challenge that we experience in the refurbishment of our Nazareth. Honorable Member, the issue that we have raised regarding our own officials not being able to work due to the pandemic is not new. When we first started in this department, we alerted members that this branch has got a high number of aging and ailing workforce. But what we are doing is that we have managed to advertise many posts, which we are finalizing the recruitment thereof, to try and deal with this issue of incapacitated officials. So I would go to the issue of whether the 1,434 jobs are full-time. Honorable Member, they are full-time equivalents in line with the ministerial determination of DPW. I'm not so sure if I missed anything else, but with regard to the PPE, I had the CFO responding to it. We are also utilizing the transversal contracts that are run by National Treasury and the delays were experienced there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Acting DDG. Chairperson, I would like then to request DDG, Dr. Thuli Khumalo for Climate Change, followed by DDG Ishabada, Regulatory Compliance and Enforcement, if it's fine by you, Chair.
Fine.
Climate change?
Thank you. Thank you, GM. I have two questions from Honorable Brian. The first one is, how long has the bill outstanding for?
According to the APP, we had expected that we would take this bill to cabinet in quarter three. So it's quarter three that has been delayed because of the extended consultation in the NEDLAC process of consultation. And then the next question, Chair, was around the monitoring network, where I was saying the officials could not visit the stations at some point. Chair, maybe just a little bit of a background on this one. The monitoring network requires that people must go there and change the reference gases that are inside the instruments and calibrate also the instruments. And those two pieces of work cannot be done remotely. The data management we are able to do remotely. So when for example, when there are power failures, like when there is load shedding, the stations do not work. The data collection gets interrupted. So I'm just giving overall what happens with these stations. So here on the APP, it's indicated there was faulty equipment in some of the stations, and those could not be replaced on time. Perhaps just to say, this APP was set up before the COVID. So now, Chair, some of the items we are looking at working remotely, for example, the NEDLAC consultations we have completed remotely. But the stations require officials to actually go there. In the initial stage of lockdown phase, I think it was level 5, yes, we did not have permits for the officials to go there. It started easing out, Chair, as the levels of lockdown changed. But the reality is that once you have lost a certain period for data recovery, you do not get back to the required 75%. That's why I said they are working, but they are not meeting that minimum data recovery, because it's also dependent on the amount of time that they were affected, the data recovery. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, PM.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. There were three questions for the regulatory compliance section. Honourable Phillips asked about the legal opinion. The legal opinion was requested in the third quarter and was received in February. Just to give a bit of context there as well, Chair, these regulations are financial provisioning regulations, so they are relatively complex. So that was partly the reason for the delay, apart from the fact that the legal advisor had contracted COVID. And then to give it to somebody to start anew would probably have delayed the process even further. Then in relation to the issue around the number of staff that do the verifications, we've got a total of 11 staff, 11 positions. Of those, 8 of them are filled. We have 3 that we've advertised that are currently vacant. We have also 3 staff that are permanently stationed at OR Tambo to do verifications. The remaining staff do verifications for private rhino owners. They also do the verification of the government stock, as well as doing when there's a sale, a rhino horn sale. They're also involved in the verification process related to those sales. Then, Chair, the Honourable Member asked for details of the criminal cases. I just needed a bit more clarity in terms of what exactly Honourable Phillips would require from us. Just in terms of contextualizing, Chair, if we receive a complaint, we open a docket. The docket then gets allocated a case number or a CAS number, as the SAPS refers to it. We then investigate the matter and pull together the evidence relating to the offense, and then hand it over to a prosecutor. So our indicator says that we finalize that process and handed it over to the National Prosecuting Authority. In some instances, the prosecutor may decide that there's sufficient evidence to proceed with the prosecution. In other instances, there may not be sufficient information to actually proceed. And we don't want to then, unnecessarily create liability where there's a decision not to prosecute. So in terms of, for example, the number of cases registered and so forth, we can probably give the Honourable Member exactly the details with regard to that. But if you can just provide clarity in terms of what exact details you'd require in terms of the criminal cases, we could provide that to the committee chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. And the last one is DDG Shonisani Munzezi, DDG responsible for BNC in the department. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. There were two but three questions that were asked. The two that are interrelated have to do with the high-level panel and the NEMBA bill. The response to the high-level panel and the NEMBA bill would start as follows, that the two are mutually inclusive in the sense that the recommendations were provided by the high-level panel to the minister, and out of such recommendations and out of the process of consideration of the report itself, minister will provide guidance on the way forward to this, and minister is considering the report. However, on the bill itself, the provisions were already made then. The only outstanding matter, as indicated in the Q3 report, is the matter of an assessment of what the outcomes of the consideration of the report will have on the bill itself and its provision. I just want to indicate to honorable members that NEMBA bill provides a framework legislation, of course, in terms of biodiversity and conservation arising from NEMBA that we currently have at the moment. And therefore, the certain provisions that would have to do with the matters that the high-level panel was tasked to deal with and the decisions that will emanate from such recommendations that were provided, unfortunately or fortunately, provided at the end of quarter three, in December late. That's where we are at the moment. Of course, this process would require, as it is at the moment, policy specialists looking at a number of things and also legal aspects associated with the framing of certain areas in the framework legislation here in this case still represented by NEMBA bill. That is the first part of it. The second one had to do with the slide 35, as Honorable Phillips indicated, asking about the national park that was declared. We are happy to announce that the national park in question is within the space of what we call the Square Kilometer Array, SKA, the one for astronomy and well-known in Northern Cape. So that has been declared officially so in the Government Gazette in line with Section 20 and Section 38 of the Protected Areas Act. It's in existence, hence the framing that we see in the report itself. So it adds into our portfolio of national parks in the country. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, DDG Chairperson. Thanks a lot. I'm not sure whether I see in the chat there are questions that has been raised by Honorable Phillips with regard to criminal cases within the department. I'm not sure whether Isham has responded to those questions. But so far, Chair, these are the responses to the question that has been asked by members. If there are some questions that they did not respond to, then we'll then advise by yourself which are those questions. Then we can respond in a written form within that stipulated time that Honorable Phillips has requested for. Thank you very much, Chairperson. From our side, from the department, this is how far we can go, unless there are some other questions that has not been responded to. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Now I'll take follow-ups. I see the hand of Honorable Bryant I also noted those in the chat group. Honorable Bryant.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's just one follow-up question. In terms of the fishing rights allocation process to the Western Cape, it was mentioned in answer to my question that there was a serious challenge with regards to the contractor for the Western Cape, or the service provider for the Western Cape. Can I just get confirmation that that service provider, in light of that, is going to be grey-listed or blacklisted, and that we aren't going to end up going down the route with the same contractor again? I'd just like to ask if we can have confirmation of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we get a response?
DDG responsible for that area, can you respond, please?
Thank you, DM and Chairperson. It's Sue from the Fisheries Branch. In response to Honourable Bryant's question, yes, I can confirm that the department has taken legal action against the service provider. The process is still underway, so I can't comment yet about blacklisting, but I presume that would be the outcome or the conclusion of the process. And then, Chair, with your indulgence, there were a number of questions from Honourable Paulson in the written questions. And with your permission, I would undertake to respond in writing within the specified timeframes to those questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Then that concludes this session with the commitments to say there will be responses in writing for the stipulated time frames. Can we now, Honourable Deputy Minister, move to the second presentation? South African
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Without a waste of time, we have then a source which is led by its board chairperson, Ms. Nana Makhomola, but the person who's going to take us through the presentation is the acting CEO, Mr. Mnikeli Ndabambi. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
I'm here, Minister. Good morning, Chair and members. May I take this opportunity to acknowledge Deputy Minister, Honourable Socho, and may I also acknowledge and congratulate the DG, Ms. Shabalala, on her appointment. Acknowledge also the department colleagues and source management. Thank you, members, for the opportunity to present our second and third quarter report. I have with me the acting CEO, Mnikeli Ndabambi, and the newly appointed CFO, Norman Mazizi, and the senior manager finance, Lulama Gumenge. I had reported at our last meeting that the process of appointing the CEO was at an advanced stage. And may I say, Honorable, seeing has stolen my thunder in congratulating Isham Abedai on his appointment. I am happy to confirm that his appointment has been approved by Cabinet, and we are now finalizing the matter, and hopefully we'll have him on board sooner than later. I had also reported in the last meeting that we are in advanced stage of appointing the executive corporate and regulatory services. I can confirm that the appointment has been done and she will be starting on the 1st of April. So all in all, almost all of our critical positions have been filled and the executive team is working very well together And I can also confirm that the morale staff has improved greatly and they are all working very hard. Chair, the majority of our employees continue to work from home in line with the COVID protocols. We actually only allow no more than 50% of staff to be at work at any given time. Chair and members, once again, we are proud to present our performance report. Our performance has improved greatly since the previous reportings, but we acknowledge also that there's still room for improvement. We are still riding high on the achievement of the unqualified audit, and we promise that we'll keep it that way. In terms of our performance, the second quarter performance has been quite good. We were at 80%. However, we dropped a little bit for the third quarter. We came up at 77, which is almost 80%. Members will see that we have achieved most of our targets, but the CEO will elaborate on the areas where we have partial achievement. Again, the biggest challenge that we continue to face, which is faced by other entities, is revenue generation because of the COVID lockdown. In our case, we were hardest hit in one of our biggest source of revenue, which is the aviation industry. And at this point, we don't see this changing anytime soon. So as a board, we have tasked management with the responsibility of looking for other ways of increasing our revenue. And in this regard, a commercial task team has been set up, and we are expecting from them a comprehensive at our next board meeting to see what other areas are looking at to help us to improve our revenue. Chairs and members, without taking more time, because I know it's been a long day for you, I am going to hand over to the acting CEO, Mnikeli Ndabambi, to go through the performance report, and the CFO, Norman Mazizi, will take us through the financials. Thank you. Mr. Ndabambi, we are in your hands.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and also Honorable Deputy Minister, and also the DG and the DDG from the department and all the colleagues. The next slide, if you can move, is showing what the Chairperson has summarized. The program one is weather and climate services. We dropped one target there. Program two is research and innovation. We achieved that program. And then program three is infrastructure and information systems, which is about your weather radars, weather stations, and including the IT systems. We have achieved 5 out of 7 there, 2 is partial achieved. And then program four, members, is administration. That includes your finance, your supply chain, your human capital management, your corporate services. We have achieved 3 out of 4 there, partial achieved 1. So members, we have dropped a bit because in quarter two, as the Chairperson said, we were at 80%. And then the next slide, so the total for the quarter is 77.8% members. So if we can go to the next slide. So we'll be talking to program one in this slide, members. So the SPZA 41 is your daily weather forecast that you see on television daily, on newspapers, your maximum temperatures, including the related warnings. So that is a public good product that we monitor its availability, because if it's not available for the citizen, then it means what we don't deliver on our public good mandate. So we've dropped slightly there. The target is 98%. We've got 97% members. It was just mainly the ICT communications as the information was getting transmitted. Otherwise, the products were there in the system. If we can look at the next slide, which is the overall for program one, 75% members. So let's go to program two. And then as per the guidance from the chair, we will just go to the next program three. This one was achieved. In program three members, you will notice that in quarter two for the weather radars, we've got a target of 85%. So it's yellow for both quarters members. In quarter two, we were slightly better at 74%. And now we are at 65% members. This is mainly due to the lack of the CAPEX members as we engage with the Minister and DM trying to make sure that the operations survive as the COVID-19 was hitting us last year. So the CAPEX was converted to OPEX to subsidize the operations. And of course, this was also with a concurrence with Treasury members. But now as we start the new financial year, we've made CAPEX available so that we can start working on these radars members. The next slide. In this slide, members, it talks to the priority areas in terms of the air quality stations that should be available to the South African Air Quality Information System. The target is 75%, but we managed to achieve 69% of this quarter members. It's an improvement a bit, members. Last quarter, in quarter two, we were at 60%. This improvement is going to continue, members, because we had our station in Sharpeville, which was vandalized. So it has since been brought back online. And then now the availability are beginning to increase. And then to fix the station, it has cost us about 336,956 members. But now in terms of what we have done, we've worked with the community to assist us in terms of the security. And then we have articulated the benefit of having that station. The next slide. So total summary is 71.4% for program three members. And then now we'll go to program four members. In this program, it's talking to the local procurement or local expenditure on affirmative procurement. The target is 85% members. So in quarter two members, we partially achieved. We were at 63%, and then we managed to achieve in third quarter members. It looks like we are going to continue to achieve. We're not seeing anything that will stop us because each business unit has made this area a priority, including the supply chain management processes that are in place to guide the business units. The next slide. And then still in program for members, this slide is also partially achieved at 50% in terms of WSP, the target being 60%. But here we just had challenges which also delayed in terms of our training programs. But we are also optimistic, members, that in quarter four, we will achieve. We did achieve it in quarter two members. The next slide. So in program four, total was 75% members. So we did manage to achieve in all the programs, although we had some partially achieved targets, but we didn't have a target that is not achieved at all, members. So the next slide, I think, is taking us to the finances. Let's go on. Yes, I'll hand over to Mr. Norman Mzizi, who is our Chief Financial Officer, members. Thank you, members.
Thanks, Acting CEO. Good morning to Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable DM. The financial report for quarter three indicates that the actual revenue for the period is 303 million versus the budget of 296 million. And we have got a favorable variance of about 7 million. And the revenue is about 72% to the total budget for the year. And in terms of the total expenditure, we are sitting at a total expenditure of 290 million versus the budget of 310 million. And total expenditure currently you're sitting at about 72% of the total expenditure for the year. And this indicates the gradual movement that we are in. And then also the positive variance of 20 million is due to the economic recovery plan that we have implemented, as well as the cost containment measurements that we have implemented in line with the budget cuts that we experienced. Now, what contributed to the total expenditure variance, positive variance? Mainly, we see it from the administrative expenditure, where we've got an actual of 4 million versus the budget of 6 million. We've got a positive variance of 2 million. And on compensation to employees, we've got actual of 196 million versus the budget of 204 million. We've got a positive variance of 8 million. And we also have 7 million, which is for impairment of debtors due to the fact that in the aviation industry, we experienced instances whereby some of the aviation industry people were unable to pay due to the lockdown, and we had to impair those debtors. And in total, it's about 7 million. And I must say that we continue to follow up these amounts. And what we have experienced is most of them, they've started to pay the current invoices, and the old amounts that happened during the lockdown period are still administered by the business rescue practitioners. In terms of the other operating expenditure, we're sitting at actual of 82 million versus the budget of 98 million. We've got a positive variance of 16 million. This is due to the cost containment measurements that we have implemented. Now, in total, for the period, for quarter three, we see a deficit of 11 million. And Chair, I must indicate that this 11 million is an improvement as compared to 20 million deficit that we had during quarter two. The next slide, please. Here we see the summary of our revenue. As we can see in there that the majority of our revenue comes from the department, and the actual and the budget are equal at 249. And in terms of aviation industry, we've got a positive variance of 3.9 because of the actual of 22 versus the budget of 18. Also, on the non-regulated commercial, we've got a positive variance of 3.9 as our actual is sitting at 18 versus the budget of 14 million. Thank you. Chair, in terms of the narration on revenue, as I've said that for quarter three, I think against the budget of 2.96, and we see this variance, positive variance of almost 7 million, and which is coming mainly from aviation, 3.9 million, as well as non-regulated revenue, and in total, it's positive variance of the main part of our revenue is from our government grant. We have an operational grant of 235 million, as well as the 14 million that's coming from the air quality information system. So I must say that for the capital expenditure of 12 million, and due to the challenges that we had, unable to pay for our OPEX, operating expenditure, as well as salaries, we had to request the department through National Treasury so that we can convert some of our CAPEX grant from CAPEX into OPEX. The amount that was converted from CAPEX to OPEX is 140 million, and this helped us to be able to pay our OPEX as well as the salaries. And yes, we agree that investment in infrastructure is important, and then hence this we take it as one of the elements that we don't want to revisit them, because we would like to invest in the infrastructure so that we can improve on our performance. And in terms of the total revenue, as I've said, the SFC we've got a positive variance of 3.9 as well on non-regulated revenue. Thank you. Next slide, please. On the expenditure side, Chair, the main component of our expenditure, as we can see, is from compensation of employees, actually of 196 million versus the budget of the two of the OPEX, but actually of 82 million versus the budget of 98 million. We've got a positive variance of 60 million. And on the administrative expenditure, we've got actual of 4 million versus the budget of 6.9 million. And we've got a positive variance of 2.5 million. And these positive variances from OPEX as well as administrative expenditure is due to the cost containment measurements that we've implemented, as we can see in the next slide. Our total expenditure for quarter three amounted to 290 million versus the budget of 310 million. It's about 6.5% below the budget. And the main contributors to this positive variance is from administrative expenditure. As we can see, the actual is 4 million versus the budget of 6.9 million, and we are below the budget by 36%. And on compensation to employees, we are sitting with an actual of 196 million versus the budget of 205 million, and we've got a positive variance of 8 million. And this is due to the economic recovery plan that we have implemented, where amongst others, it states that we fill critical posts as they become vacant, and the non-critical posts, due to the financial challenges, we have deferred them, and we will fill those positions as the financial situation improves, because we see the pressure that is being experienced by our staff, and due to the workload. And now, in terms of the filling of the critical positions, as the chair has indicated, at the end of quarter three, the positions that were vacant, it was the CEO, and that one, it has been filled. And currently, we're busy with the administrative work. The one for the executive corporate regulatory services, also the process has been completed in quarter four, and the individual will start from 1st of April. The senior manager SCM, which is also one of our critical positions, the process has been completed in quarter four, and the individual will start from April 2021. The one for the senior manager research, we had to re-advertise it due to the fact that we could not find the suitable incumbent when the results were evaluated. And we envisage to complete this process in quarter one of 21-22. And the senior manager human capital, this position has been filled. The individual has started in February. Now, we believe that when these critical positions are filled, we will be able to improve our performance and also ensure sustainability in the organization. In terms of the operating expenditure, the actual is 82 million versus the budget of 98 million. And as I've said, Chair, that the cost containment measurements that we have implemented help us to yield these positive variances. Thank you, Chair. Back to you, Chair, and Honourable Deputy Minister. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister. Do you want to make any comment?
We have openly budgeted the board indicators, areas of improvement within source, of which we agreed with her. But I think for us now, Chair, is for you to say, here is the report then from source, and then we'll then wait for your guidance with regard to questions and clarities from members of parliament. This is our last presentation for the day. I'm throwing it back to yourself, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Can I see your hands? I see Honourable Phillips, you are number one. Yeah, Honourable Phillips.
Thank you so much, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. We're relieved that I don't have so many questions about this one. However, I think they are more incisive. My first question as well would be, I would like an organogram of the current staff of SOARS. My next question is regarding the 65% unavailability of radar. What are the effects of that radar not being available on research? On next question is slide 22. The presenter kept saying 3.9 million. I'd like to point out that that is
to actually not the revenue, $4.7 million. So with an above expected revenue, why was money still needed to take, why was it still needed to take money from CAPEX to OPEX? Where was that estimated money needed? And then relating to that, I'm very concerned about some tenders that went out today. In February 2019, a tender was awarded to Interim Africa for 36 months. They were going to supply some upper air sounding networks and supply upper air radio songs, and why have we got two tenders for 36 months that overlap only by 9 months? That's the question. And then the C-band radios that are not working, are they part of the infamous 250 million rand radar procurement? And then on the staff complement as well, I just would like to point out that our committee never received clarity on the resignation or any steps taken against the previous CEO. And I think that that report should be coming to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Can we get a response?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thanks to member, Honourable Member Phillips for the question. I will then give over to the CFO and the CEO, acting CEO, to respond to the question raised by the member. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chair, can I, if you allow me, Deputy yes. Minister, to go before the executive responds to some of the questions. I will deal with the first one about the organogram that the member asked for. And I'm glad to say that actually after our recent strategic planning session, we revised our organogram, which was approved by the board in September. And because of financial constraints, we also decided that we'll have a phased-up approach in terms of implementation. So it is available, and we'll make it, we'll send it to the members. The other one that I will reply to, the other question that I will respond to is the matter of the resignation of the previous CEO. The member has not received the report, but we did put a couple of months ago where it was quite elaborate, where we stated the reasons of the, you know, what the matter was, the reasons for the resignation and how we have proceeded to deal with him post resignation. The long and short of it is that he was facing allegations of financial misconduct, and closer to when the hearing started after many, many postponements from his side, he decided to resign. And of course, as an institution, we cannot stop anybody from resigning. However, his case has been reported to the police. So the matter is now in the hands of the police. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Minister. I'll allow the executives to respond to the other questions.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister, Honourable Chair, and Honourable Members. In terms of the first question, Honourable Phillips, the 65% availability of the radar, its effect on the research. In terms of the research, there's not much work we do, but of course the data will not be available. But then for the purpose of the radar, we also use some of the infrastructure, but then it will not supplement the radar data for the research purpose. But for the impact, which is more, the radar is more useful for what we call a very short time forecasting, your flash flooding, damaging a hailstorm, which normally is given within a few hours or within an hour. That's where the impact is. But then we also use high satellite resolutions to supplement, and also the lightning detection network, although they don't supplement 100% sometimes, depending on the complexity of the severe thunderstorms. And then in terms of slide 22, I think the CFO will respond to that. And the tenders members, I do have a vague memory of this, so but I would like to give an information that is correct. Unless the CFO got the information at hand, I would request that we send it to the members. But there is nothing that is sinister about that. It's just that now the details of it, they are not in my memory at the present. And then, Honourable Member, in terms of the C-band radars, whether they were part of the 240 million, no, they were not part of that. The 240 million purchased the S-band radars, and then also the two X-band radars. X-band are those that are a short range, about 100 meters. The S-band, they go to about 300 kilometer range. But members, with the C-bands, some have reached the end of their useful life. So some will start looking at decommissioning them. And they are also vulnerable to frequency interference, more especially the one in DR, in the area of the square ray kilometer, that Didi Shoni alluded to. The one that was in Port Elizabeth, also it was useless in Port Elizabeth because of frequency interferences. And then we took it to Skukuza, but it's also very, very old. It requires frequent maintenance. So in short, members, the C-band radars are the old radars. Thank you very much, members, the CFO. Through the chair.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of our operating expenditure, on slide 22, we do indicate the positive variance in total of 7 million. Chair, the challenge that we had during the course of quarter three, we had a situation whereby we were unable to pay our operating expenditure, as well as so a challenge that we will not be able to pay salaries. And then hence, we took a conscious decision that we convert our operational grant for CAPEX into OPEX. And as we have said, that the total amount that was converted from CAPEX to OPEX is 140 million, as we can see under slide 22. And Chair, this conversion of CAPEX to OPEX assisted us to be able to pay our operating expenditure as well as our salaries. Now, the amount that we are experiencing of the positive variances on aviation as well as non-regulated aviation. These are the amounts that are coming up as compared to the budget, but these are small amounts. I mean, in total, we speak of 7 million. However, the challenge that we had when we had to convert is 140 million. Now, that amount of 140 million was used to pay our operating expenditure as well as our salaries. Chair, in terms of the question of the tender on the radio songs, yes, when the tender was issued, when it was evaluated, the service providers didn't meet the specifications, and we could not finalize the tender, and we had to reissue the tender again. And it was reissued, and currently we are finalizing that tender. Thank you, Chair.
Yes. I can see there's a follow-up or a question from Honorable Bryant. Can we just get that?
Thank you, Chairperson. It's just with regards to the question that was raised by Honorable Phillips in terms of the CEO. I have heard that the matter was referred to the South African Police Services. I just want to know, were criminal charges laid against the individual in question? And has the department received an update from the SAPS or requested an update from the SAPS in terms of the investigation? So just those two questions, were criminal charges laid? And have they received any update in terms of how far that investigation is proceeding? Thank you.
Thank you. Can we get a response?
Indeed. Thank you, Chair. Indeed, Honourable Member, the criminal charges against him were laid, and there have been follow-ups, but I'll just check with the acting CEO to give us the latest feedback, but there have been follow-ups in terms of how far they are with the process. Nigeli, if you may please respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have been making follow-ups, members, but not really getting a tangible feedback. Most of the time, the person who deals with the investigation that were given, we're not getting that person. So then what we have decided on now is to formalize it. So a letter has been prepared to go to the station commander. And then if we don't get a response, the plan is to prepare another letter that is going to be sent now by the chairperson of the board to the higher level. I'm not sure whether it will be the commissioner. We have been following up members. And then I also saw another question flying, members, whether salaries were not budgeted for. The salaries, members, were budgeted for, but our salaries are also supplemented by revenue that we generate. So in the absence of revenue or when it is decreased, so then we're going to run short of salaries. Thank you, members.
Otherwise, thank you very much. I'm not sure, Honorable Phillips, is that a follow-up?
Yes, it is, please, Chair, if you will indulge me, I'd appreciate it. Sorry, I'm really confused. The first thing is about those tenders. I mean, the first one went out on the 22nd. The first one went out, was actually awarded on the 15th of February 2019. Was any money actually paid for that tender? The next one then was actually awarded on the 22nd of November 2019? Was any money paid for that tender? And if not, have we actually got a stock of radio sounds, or what are we using? If there's no tender for them from 2019 to 2021, where is the equipment coming from, and what are we actually using to send up with the weather balloons? This really concerns me. And then as for the income supplementing the salaries, I understand that. But I did point out that the expected revenue was actually higher. It wasn't lower on slide 22. So with a higher expected revenue, why did we still have to get extra money to supplement the salaries? I'm really a bit confused about the salaries, but I'm very concerned about the radio sounds. Don't we have any at the moment? And are the weather balloons not being sent up? Thank you.
Can we respond?
I'll request the CFO to perhaps clarify further the one-off salaries. I'm not an expert in that area. Can you please, CFO?
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the salaries on slide 20, we do indicate it in there that the actual is 196 versus the budget of 204. Now, if one looks at our total expenditure, is 290 million versus the budget of 303 million. This situation is in quarter three. In quarter two, that's where we had a challenge whereby we didn't have enough revenue to meet our operating expenditure. And then hence, that's when the request was made to convert CAPEX to from CAPEX to OPEX. Now, after that was done, the situation improved. The situation that we are seeing now in quarter three is after the effect, after that conversion was done from converting 140 million from CAPEX to OPEX. And then hence, it appears that the revenue is more. It's because of the fact that this has already been done. But the situation was dire at the end of quarter one, so at the end of quarter two. Thank you, Chair. And the explanation on tender, Chair, on that one, we can look at the facts, and then we can provide a written response in the stipulated time as suggested. Thank you, Chair.
Otherwise, no, thank you very much. I think that you are repeating something that was said to say on the, because you'd want specifics on this issue of the tender. Honorable members, with the questions that would be responded to in writing in terms of the prescribed time frames, I think we should now conclude the session and hope to see you next week on the 16th. Can I close the meeting with your permission? Well, if
yes,
you are
Chair.
Silent. Okay.
Yes, Chair.
No, thank you very much. The meeting is closed officially. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Chair.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.